Well, I just want to thank you for this new day. Thank you for the breath of life once again. Thank you for just the technology we have to live stream our services. Thank you for allowing us to partake of the Word of God. And Lord, just right now, I pray that you would anoint each home that's tuned into the live stream, that you prepare our hearts to receive all that you want to say to us in your Word, Lord. And I pray that you would just have a word of prophecy once again to each one of us that's reading the word tonight, today, Lord. And I pray that you would just anoint it, anoint each heart, Lord, each heart that receives the word. Not only that we would understand it with our minds, that we would receive it, and that it would go down deep, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to pick up right at verse 5. I'm going to read through all of the text from verse 5, chapter 1. All the way to chapter 2, verse 2. And then we're going to talk about this title, Walking in Light. And then we'll look at the parts, each individual verse. Okay? All right, let's all stand as we read the Word of God together. All right, 1 John, chapter 1, verse 5. John records it, says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." Verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Verse 1, chapter 2. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 2, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Let's pray once again. Oh Lord, your word to you. May you have your way in each one that is tuned into this service, Lord, through the live stream. I pray that you would, by your word, change each one of us, Lord. May we receive it. May we walk in it, Lord. And may you truly, Lord, plant your word deep into our hearts, that we might be different after these next 30, 40 minutes of receiving your word, that we might be changed, we might be different. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 5, we're going to pick up our text. Now, I want to talk about the title, though, Walking in Light, because verse 5, chapter 1, it says this: "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." And so the title of the message is Walking in Light. Now, I want to note this to you, this word "in," okay? So it's not walking on light or walking with light or with the light. It's walking in light. And notice it says right there, "in him." Notice in verse 5, once again, it says, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Okay, so I think this is very important as we walk in Christ. It's not just with Christ, walk in Christ. Well, it's Christ in us, right? And we know this through the teachings of even Jesus. Remember John chapter 3, he talked about, you must be born again. Remember he talked about that to Nicodemus. Unless a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom, he cannot enter the kingdom. And so it's in Christ that we're born again. So once we're born again, Christ comes in us through the Holy Spirit. Our sins are removed, right? And he gives us his Spirit. So it's now God in us, right? And so this is very important, walking in the light. Now, you think about this word light. You're either in the light or you're what? Not in the light. Now the light is on, so we're in the light. We turn all the lights off, the sun goes down, we're now in darkness, right? It has nothing to do with or upon. It's in. You're either in the light or you're in the darkness, right? And so When it says here, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. The in the light is in the Lord, is in God, right? Very important for us to walking in the light. It's walking in Christ. It's Christ in us. It's fundamentally different than following a set of laws, a set of do's and don'ts, right? That's kind of witnessing from afar. But Christ in us, very important. Now, God is light. Let's talk about that. What does it mean, God is light? Well, I want to just remind you that the Gospel of John, which John wrote in his younger years, right, has a lot of similarities with 1st, 2nd, and 1st John, these letters. But John is writing about Jesus in his latter years, okay? But the message is very similar. Now, we noted this last week. You know, the beginning of this letter, 1st John chapter 1, verse 1, I want to read this to you again. Notice it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. Sounds very familiar to the Gospel of John. We noted that last week. How does the Gospel of John begin? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so note here in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 1, it talks about the Word, right? And it says, in the beginning, that which was from the beginning. But notice too, in John chapter 1 verse 14, it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so right here in chapter 1 verse 1 of 1 John, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and our hands have handled. The same type of description here, the similarity. And I want to note this again, because John in his younger years wrote the account in the Gospel of John. Now these are his latter years, almost to the end of his years on this earth, right? And he's reminding them of the same thing. And so he thinks that this is very important. What's important? This message is important, but it's a message based on the person of Jesus Christ. And I want to underscore that again before we talk about this message, as he highlights in verse 5. Right? It's important, but it all pivots upon the person of Jesus Christ. Very important. Doctrine. Who is Jesus Christ? Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, unless, as we mentioned last week, unless you say that Jesus is fully God and fully man, it's a different Jesus than in the Bible. Right? And so we want to note that. The person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man. It's a similar theme that we see in the Gospel of John. Very important for us to know. And so from this, he says in verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from him, Jesus, fully God, fully man, and declared to you. So this is the message, knowing that Jesus is fully God and fully man, the person of Jesus Christ. This is the message that we have heard from him. And he then declared to you that God is light. That's the message. God is light. And as I mentioned, you're either in the light or you're not in the light. You're either in God or in Christ or not in Christ. It's one of the two. And so I want to talk about this from the perspective of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John records Jesus teaching about being the light as well. Again, the Gospel of John and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, there's a lot of similarity. Written by the same author. Right? But one is written when he was younger and one is written now that he's older. But it's the same type of themes. Now, why would he repeat himself? Why would he cover these things again? Well, repetition underscores the importance of the message, right? We repeat ourselves because we don't want people to forget what we say. And so John is now repeating the same message, who Jesus is. And because Jesus is fully God and fully man, Jesus, God, He's light. And this is one of the themes here, right? God is light. And so we're going to look at this through the eyes of the Gospel of John. So with that, I want to just kind of cross-reference a couple places where the Gospel of John talks about light. Now, I'm going to give you the scriptures. You can refer to this in your own time, but I'm just going to read it out to you and I'm going to explain it, okay? And I want to underscore some things about this whole aspect of God being light or the world, okay? So in John chapter 9, verse 4, I want to read this to you. John chapter, the Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 4. Right? This is right after the verses that says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? In verse 4, it says this, in him, in Christ, in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of men. I want you to note that. In Jesus, there was life. And that life was the light of men. So he equates, John, he says, Jesus, in Jesus is life, and that life is light. He equates the life of the Lord with light. And it says, the light of men. So the light came to men. Now it says, verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. I want to note that. And so as we receive the light, which is receiving the life of Jesus, his light now shines in the darkness. Right? And I want you to kind of meditate on that, right? As I mentioned, you're either in the light or you're in darkness. How do you get out of the darkness? You have to turn on the light. How do you turn on the light? You have to receive the life of Jesus in your heart. You understand? And so it's really kind of a simple recipe. Now, we have a hard time doing it, and we're going to see why. Because men love darkness. They love their sin. So they don't want to turn on the light. It's a decision that you do. But once you decide to turn on the light, what happens? Darkness is gone. It's as simple as that. But the problem is, we don't want to turn on the light. We want to dabble in the darkness. We want to dabble in sin. Sin is darkness, we're going to look at, right? And we're going to see that progression in our 1 John passage. Light and darkness, right? Light is without sin. Darkness is with sin, right? And he's going to start to talk about, what do? Right? It's God's propitiation in Christ. That's how we take care of sin. But here it says, the light shines in the darkness, verse 5, chapter 1 of the Gospel of John, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then he goes on to say, verse 6, there was a man sent from God, this would be John the Baptist, whose name was John, and this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light. So witness of the light is coming, right? He was the forerunner, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That light would be who? Jesus. Verse 9, the Gospel of John chapter 1. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. I want you to note that. Verse 9. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. So, every person that's born into this world is born in darkness. They're born why? They're born with a sin nature. You see, darkness is equated to sin. And so we're born in darkness because we're born in and with a sin nature. Now, how is that taken care of? Well, we must come to the light. How do we come to the light? Well, Jesus said, John chapter 3, you must be born again. Remember, he's having that dialogue with Nicodemus, the lead teacher of the Pharisees and the scribes. Right? You must be born again. Born of the Spirit, to see the kingdom and to enter into the kingdom, right? You must be born again. How do you become born again? Well, you must confess you're a sinner. And you must repent of your sin. And ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to be your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible declares this. If you do that, confess, repent, and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin and to be your personal Lord, that you become born again. And when you become born again, the light comes in you through the Holy Spirit. And that light shines into the darkness. Okay, so it's one of the two. And we have to know this, right? Once the light comes in, the darkness flees. Right? And so if you're living in darkness, what you have to do is turn on the light. Darkness can't exist. Very interesting to kind of note that. Okay? And so John the Baptist, he came bearing witness to that. Now let me give you another scripture. And this is in the context of being born again. This is John chapter 3. This is right there at verse 19. This is right after that dialogue with Nicodemus, you must be born again. Records this, says, and this is the condemnation. These are words of Jesus. That light has come into the world. Jesus has come into the world. But the condemnation, he's going to go on to say, is that people don't receive him. They don't receive the light. says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than light. Why do people not come to the light? It's a decision. There's the reasons they love the darkness. They love their sin. They love to do what they want to do. It's really as simple as that. Turn on the light. But they don't want to turn on the light. You know, it makes me think of this. Remember those days. And maybe you don't have those days, but you can remember those days when, remember, perhaps you used to go to the nightclubs or the bars, maybe way back, right? Hopefully none of you are doing that now, okay? But remember those days way back. In those nightclubs, is it light or dark? Dark. It's all dark. Why? Why do you think that is? Because they're hiding. They're hiding in what? In shame and their sin. But once they turn on the light, oh, everybody kind of gets proper, right? Oh, turn that light off. You know, it's the same with us. Men, we love darkness. Why? Because we're hiding something, aren't we? And that's why it says there, Jesus says, you know, light has come into the world, but the men don't want the light. People don't want the light. They want the darkness. They want to stay hidden. It says, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. They're in sin. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. Right? Why do people hate to turn on the light? Because their deeds would be exposed. They want to remain hidden. Verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen. You see, that's what happens when we repent and become born again. We confess our darkness, we confess our sins, and we come into the light. Now, we do that unto salvation, but you know, it's also unto sanctification, being set apart for the Lord. You know, and I think this is what I want to talk about, and this is what I think John is addressing as well in his letter, in 1 John. He's addressing it to Christians, but there are Christians that continue to walk in darkness when they want, all they need to do is to expose the darkness and come into the light. But why won't they come into the light? Well, because they love what they're doing. Right? They don't want to turn on the light. They don't want to expose it because they love the darkness. And you know, we think of darkness, and when you see how darkness is equated to sin, we think of like these major ones like adultery or maybe murder or theft, right? Stealing something, right? All these things maybe are serious, but the thing is that sin, the word sin, literally means missing the mark. And so we miss the mark in a lot of different ways, don't we? It's that archer's term, right? An archer tries to hit the bullseye, but he misses the bullseye, and they would say, sin, you missed the mark. Right? And so how do we as Christians miss the mark? Well, we sin. We sin as well. And what do when we sin? We need to what? Confess our sins. We need to repent of our sins and ask Jesus to forgive us our sins. Now, let me ask you this. If you never confess your sins, will you repent of it? No. And will Jesus forgive you if you never confess it? No. What does it mean to confess sin? Sin, again, means missing the mark. What if you miss the mark with just your attitude? How will that be forgiven if you never confess it? Never acknowledge it. You see, the point is this, people, we miss the mark often. Let me just put this to you in real life application. You know, people that never say I'm sorry, and you know them, right? Could be Christians. They never say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was wrong. They probably have never confessed, have they? Why? Because when you confess sin, you've confessed something you've done wrong. And if you confess something that you've done wrong, you need to repent of that wrong. And probably need to ask forgiveness, huh? Forgiveness of the Lord, and perhaps even forgiveness of the person that you sinned against. And so, I want you to kind of, rather than pointing the finger outward, but to look in the mirror. Have you ever done anything wrong? You may not have murdered somebody, But perhaps you were unfair to somebody. Perhaps maybe you treated your wife wrongly. Or perhaps maybe as a wife you treated your husband wrongly or your children. Perhaps it was your attitude. You know it was wrong, but you didn't acknowledge. You didn't confess. Oh, you know what? That was wrong, honey. I'm sorry. You see, the reason I'm marking this to you is that oftentimes we stay hidden in our sin. Huh? We don't confess it. I mean, we might put on kind of the cozy look behind the pulpit right in church, right? But the question is, are we the same in front of people as we are in the home? That's the big question, right? Because ultimately God sees it all, doesn't he? And that's what being the light is knowing that God sees it all, being transparent. And I start to think about this, you know, how way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, right? Fully exposed to God. Transparent. Walking in the light. What happened? They rebelled, right? They ate of the forbidden fruit. What happened? As soon as they ate of that forbidden fruit, they saw their shame and they hid. They hid from God, right? They didn't want to what? Expose themselves to the truth anymore. They hid from God. And I think oftentimes that's what we do. We've sinned. We've treated somebody wrong. We were unfair. How we've said things. How we've reacted to things. And we think, well, you know what? I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to let that pass. But the fact of the matter is that we need to confess it. And we need to repent of it. And we need to ask Jesus to forgive us of that wrongdoing. And as we do that, what happens? There's a covering of that sin. There's a forgiveness of that sin. And then we become in the light again. If we don't do that, we remain in the darkness. And you know, that's why so often I think our relationships suffer so much, because we remain the same. You know, you've always heard me say this, and I think it's truly in the scriptures. You know, the whole sanctification process is a process of change. Set apart. Are you being conformed and transformed into the image of Christ? That's the question. Now, you might say I am, but are you truly being changed? Because I got to tell you, if we're truly being changed, we're truly confessing our sins and repenting of our sins. And in that, probably we're saying, Lord, forgive me. Or you're asking your husband or your wife or your child, forgive me. I made a mistake. I was wrong. And if we don't do that, if we find ourselves not doing that, I would say that, you know what, you're the same. I'm the same. We haven't changed. But that's what confession does. What causes us not to confess is that we love where we're at. We remain in the darkness. And this is what I believe John is highlighting here in the Gospel of John. He says, but he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen. Confess, I made a mistake. And then there's liberty, there's freedom, there's restoration that they have been done in God. Now, I want to remind you of another text in the Gospel of John. And this is in John chapter 8. And it's interesting, most of you know this account, that this is the woman that's caught in the very act of adultery. Now, who catches her? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people, right? And so these are the ones proclaiming to be in the light. But are they in the light? No, they're in darkness, aren't they? They're self-righteous. And I'm just going to summate this account to you and just read the last portion there. But you should read this in your own time. But the way it goes is this, is that there were some scribes and Pharisees, and they brought this woman to Jesus, caught in the very act of adultery. And they're trying to trap Jesus, putting them between a rock and a hard place. Is he going to obey the law of Moses to stone her? Because that was the penalty for adultery. Or is he going to obey the law of Rome? Because they weren't given the liberty, Israel, to exercise capital punishment. So they think they have him between a rock and a hard place. But what does Jesus say? He says, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Now, you know the account there, right? These scribes and the Pharisees, they start to exit, right, from the oldest to the youngest. But it's interesting when we see what happened to the woman and what happened to these religious leaders, I want to read this to you. This is from John chapter 8, right there at verse 10. It says, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, verse 11, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now let me ask you this. The woman who was in darkness, did she come into the light? Absolutely, didn't she? She came into the light. But the scribes and the Pharisees, who claimed to be in the light, where did they go? They left Jesus. They walked back into the darkness, didn't they? It's kind of an interesting kind of thing to observe. This woman caught in adultery, she repented. She confessed, repented. And the sense is that she followed Jesus. She began to walk in the light. But these religious leaders, they went back into their cave, didn't they? Into the darkness. And so, when we walk in the light, we cease from sin. But when we continue in our sin, we walk in darkness. This woman went from darkness to light. And the scribes and Pharisees, they remained in the darkness. Why? They didn't confess. And they didn't repent. And so we see that example in the Gospel of John. And this is what John is highlighting here in 1 John, in this 1 John letter chapter 1 verse 5. It says, God is light. And in him, if we're in Christ, we're walking in the light. And so when we look at verse 5, it says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When we're in Christ, when we're in the Lord, everything is exposed, everything is revealed, and there's liberty in that. As I mentioned, Adam and Eve, they hid, right? They went into the darkness, right? And that's our natural inclination. Now, let me ask you this. When you hide from God, are you hiding anything? Anybody think they're getting away with something from God? No, God sees everything. You know, when I think about this whole thing about God is light and he sees everything. Right? And so we might as well just confess and repent. We're not fooling anyone. You might fool other people. You might fool your pastor. I might fool you. But you're not fooling God, are you? You know, it makes me think about this. Remember that account there all the way back with Elijah? Remember Elijah? He was a prophet. And he can see the things of God. And this is the account right there. Remember when Ben-Hadad II, the king of Syria? And this is in 2 Kings. Let me give you the reference here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Specifically chapter 6 verse 12. The account is there. That, let me just set this up for you. The king of Syria, Syria is in battle with Israel, right? And so the account there is that the king of Syria, every time he plans out an attack with Israel, Israel is always one step ahead of him. And so what he thinks is, he feels that there's a spy in the camp. There's somebody in his army that's giving the king of Israel his plans. And so he goes to this one gentleman in his army and says, you know, where's the spy? Where's the double agent here? Every time we go out, right, and the plan is bad, they're one step ahead of us. And you know what that man in the army says? Hey, you know, there's no spy. It says that, he says this, he says that Elijah, there's a man named Elijah that tells the king of Israel what you're going to do and even what you say in your own bedroom. Could you imagine that? Do you think that's true? Do you think the Lord knows what you do and say in your own bedroom? Transparency, isn't it? You see, that's bringing things into the light. That's the fact of the matter. But the thing is, we don't oftentimes think that. We might say that, but we don't really, really acknowledge that. Do you know the Lord knows everything you think and everything you say? Could you say to the Lord, I have no sin, or I'm not wrong, or I need never to say sorry? No, we all sin. Even as Christians, we fall short. We miss the mark of perfection. And when we miss the mark of perfection, you know what you have to do? You confess it, repent of it, and ask the Lord to forgive you of that sin. If you don't do that, you know what happens? You hide in your sin. You remain the same. You don't change. You don't expose that sin to the light. But the Lord sees it anyway, doesn't he? I kind of think about this when I think about that account of Elijah. I kind of think about that time, you know, when you're working on your computer. I work on my computer a lot. You're working, you're looking into that monitor, and that monitor's looking right back at you. Sees everything you do, everything you say. Imagine that. Would you live your life differently if you know somebody was in that monitor watching you right back? Probably, huh? Well, the Lord knows, huh? The Lord knows everything. And that's God is light. He brings us into the light. But, as Jesus said, men love the darkness. They stay hidden. They don't confess their sin. They don't repent of their sin. And they don't ask Jesus to forgive them. And so they remain in the darkness. They remain the same. And you know, that's the worst thing, people. You've become born again. God has saved you. And then you stay the same. You're the same as you were yesterday. You're the same as you were last week, last month, last year. You're the same when you first became a Christian. There has not been a change. And the reason why there hasn't been a change is that you haven't confessed. You haven't acknowledged, you know what? I made a mistake. I need to ask forgiveness of the Lord and perhaps of that person I sinned against. That's going from darkness to light. But we choose to remain in darkness. We don't confess our sins. And so verse 6 says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, if we say or if we believe that we have fellowship with him, fellowship with God. Now this word fellowship, it's a Greek word koinonia. It means to have in common. That's what fellowship is, right? We have something in common. That's where we're fellowshipping. Koinonia room, right? A lot of churches have a koinonia room. A fellowship room. A common room. We have this in common. The Lord. Right? And so it says, if we say, or if we believe that we have fellowship with him, with God, with the Lord, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. How do we walk in darkness? We don't confess our sin. We stay the same. Why? Because we don't want to come into the light. Right? And so, if we say we have fellowship with God, but we don't admit that we made a mistake, we don't confess our sin, that we missed the mark, he says that we lie and do not practice the truth. We remain separated from God. And I just would just share with you, oftentimes that happens, right? We carry our Bibles, we have a lot of Christian jargon, but we stay in our sin. We keep on doing the same old, and we don't lift that up to the Lord. You know, Lord, I shouldn't have said that to that person. Or I shouldn't have treated my son that way. Or I shouldn't have treated my wife that way. Or as a wife, I shouldn't have treated my husband that way. We don't confess that, do we? And you know what happens? If we don't confess it, we don't acknowledge it. We stay in the darkness. We stay the same. And if we don't acknowledge it, we don't ask repentance, or we don't repent of it, and we don't ask forgiveness of it. You see, that's the process of coming from darkness into light. Because darkness is sin. Light is without sin. How do you come into the light? You have to confess you've sinned, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. That's how you come into the light. Otherwise, you're going to remain the same in the darkness. And this is why he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. I think oftentimes that's what we're doing. Right? We're going to church, we're carrying our Bibles, but we're lying to ourselves. We do the same thing. We talk the same way. We treat people the same way. There hasn't been a change. There hasn't been a change because there's no acknowledgement of wrongdoing. Now, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Notice that. If we go from darkness to light, if we confess our sins, if we repent of our sins, if we ask Jesus to forgive us our sins and we come into the light, what happens? We have fellowship. Oh. You ever wonder why perhaps you don't have fellowship with other people, other believers? Well, maybe it's you're in darkness. You haven't come into the light. You haven't confessed that you've done anything wrong. I didn't do it wrong. They did it wrong. It's not on me, it's on them. Well, stay out of fellowship then. You're staying in darkness. You're not coming into the light. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia. We have something in common with God, who is light, right? We can't bring darkness to God. We don't have fellowship. We have to come into the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How do we come into the light? Well, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have to confess we've sinned, right? And there's forgiveness of sin. We're going to see how he's the propitiation, the perfect sacrifice. So not only does he cover, but he removes sin. And that's how we come into the light. But you have to first confess, you know what? I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Sometimes husbands, you have to tell your wife, you know what? I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Wives, sometimes you have to say to your husband the same thing. I just feel it in my heart. Ask yourself, when's the last time you apologized to somebody? Think about it. I mean, don't tell me you're perfect and you never had to apologize to anybody. But isn't that confessing when you apologize? You know what? I've done something wrong. Now, if you want to stay in darkness and have no fellowship, just continue what you're doing. I've never sinned. I've never done anything wrong. You've done it wrong. Not me. It's on you, not me. Right? Remain out of fellowship. There's no common ground because you're in darkness. You haven't come into the light. It says the blood of Jesus brings us to the light, right? The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Now, here we see the connection. It goes from light and darkness to what? Sin and not sin. When we sin, we're in darkness. When we repent of our sin and confess our sin and Jesus forgives it, we come into the light. Now it says, if we say that we have no sin, verse 8, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, right? That's what happens when we say, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. Well, you never do anything wrong, huh? You deceive yourself. And the truth is not in you. You can't come into the light. Now, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, right? So we have to acknowledge, I have sinned against that person. I have sinned against the Lord. We have to confess it. That's acknowledging. That's acknowledging, you know what? That maybe you don't do it right all the time. Maybe I don't do it right all the time, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But he's not going to forgive you if you don't confess it. If you say, I didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing to forgive. He's only going to forgive you if you confess it, right? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the cleansing comes when there's forgiving. He's only going to forgive when you confess. If you're perfect and you say, well, it's never my fault, it's never my doing, you have nothing to confess. So you have nothing to forgive. And unless you're perfect like Jesus, which you're not, then you're not walking in the light. You're in darkness. Verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if you say that I never sin, not only are you a liar, you make God to be a liar. Now, I know all of you will never say this if we say we have not sinned. I know all of you will never say I have not sinned. But let me draw this to your attention. If you never admit you've done anything wrong, if you never apologize, are you not saying I haven't sinned? See, that really is the issue there. There's no fellowship if you can never apologize. There's no fellowship if you can never admit you've done something wrong. Because we all know we all do things wrong. And if we want to be brought back into fellowship with our husbands and wives and our children and those brothers and sisters that can't get along, we need to learn to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I made a mistake. Otherwise, there's no common ground. We remain in darkness, not in the light. Verse 1, chapter 2. My little children, I love this. He's kind of taking them aside. He says, my little children, understand this. He's pleading with them, right? He's watching these children and he's saying, you know, you're going astray, you don't understand. My little children. He says, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. I'm writing you these things so that you would be brought into the light, so that you would have fellowship. I write to you so that you may not sin, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So he says, if you have sinned, you know what? There's forgiveness. But you first have to confess it. Verse 2. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. What does propitiation mean? Sometimes I wish they don't use this word. It's a long word. It literally means propitiation. It literally means to appease, right? So sin keeps us separate from God because God is perfect. Sin is missing the mark. And so propitiation is now the appeasement for that sin so that we can be brought back into relationship. And how that appeasement comes is something has to be done with the sin. And so until the time of Jesus, the blood of bulls and goats only covered sin. Right? And so oftentimes, propitiation is defined as a covering, because that's what appeases sin, is to cover sin. But ultimately, Jesus didn't just cover sin. What did he do? Right, the Hebrew says, he removed sin, because he's the perfect sacrifice. Only God could be perfect. And so as the Gospel of Luke records, right? The perfect man. He became the perfect man to become the perfect sacrifice, because a perfect sacrifice is required not only to cover sin, but to remove sin. So this is the work of Christ. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Now it says our. So does that mean just you? No, it's you and me. Those in the church. Now he talks about the whole world as well. But the whole world has to receive it, just like you have to receive it. And so when he says, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, you have to receive it. So you've been born again, you've received it, but I got to tell you, you're still being transformed into his image. And you're still missing the mark. And so when you miss the mark and you sin, what do you have to do? You have to confess. And once you confess and acknowledge that you've done something wrong, you have to repent. You have to go a different direction. You have to say, Lord, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to have this attitude anymore, Lord. Take this, nail it to the cross. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to think this. Help me, Lord. Confess it. I want to treat people as you would treat them. I want to serve people as you serve them. I want to love as you love. Anything less is missing the mark. Help me, Lord. And so we go to Christ, right, as the propitiation. When we miss that mark, he's faithful, isn't he? He's faithful as we confess it, as we repent of it. He's faithful to forgive us, to remove that sin so that we can now be what? Brought into the light. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. And so darkness is removed. Sin is removed. Even the sin of the Christian who misses the mark, who doesn't do things always right. But we must first, what? Confess, acknowledge. And he's faithful and just, right, to forgive us and to remove that. This is how we are brought from darkness into light. I understand, right? We understand justification. We're in the dark, not even saved. Darkness to light. But you know, notice he's speaking to Christians. Oftentimes we as Christians, we are still living in darkness. We haven't changed. We're still doing the same things. We're still acting the same way. We're still talking the same way. We're still treating people the same way that we used to. Not like Christ would have us. And we need to confess even those things. And he's faithful and just to forgive us and bring us into the light. God is light. Walking in light. Walking in him is turning on the light. That's what we need to do. Turn on the light and no longer walk in darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Oh, Lord, might you help us. Lord, it sounds even too simple, Lord, to just turn on the light, but really that's what it takes, is to confess that we are in darkness, is to confess that we need to change, Lord. Is to confess it's not that person, but it's me. Probably more often than it's the other. It's me, Lord. Have it begin with me. Help us to receive the light. Oh Lord, that the darkness would flee. All those times that we missed the mark, Lord, help us to acknowledge, to confess. Help us to repent. The desire to go your way, not my way. And Lord, you're faithful to forgive. We trust you for that, Lord. Change us, I pray. Help us to be more like you. Help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand?